8. So if you'll find that, stand when you find it. Acts chapter 8, we'll get into our message. Acts chapter 8. We're just going to read the first four verses. Okay, the Bible says, I'm in Romans chapter 8. Goodness gracious. All right. I'm like, that doesn't look right. That's a good verse, though. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is a good verse. All right, here we go. I don't have a sermon for that, though. So let's look at verse number 1 of Acts chapter 8. The Bible says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Now, the one that Saul was consenting or agreeing with or approving of, which is what consenting means, is Stephen, who just in the last part of chapter 7 has been stoned, okay? So he's consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, say those last three words, preaching the word. You know what? I love that. Because although there was great persecution, it didn't stop God's people from doing what many of you have already testified about tonight. Amen. Preaching the word, telling people about Jesus. So praise God for that. Let's pray. The title tonight is Trials Are the True Test of Your Determination. And we're going to be talking about that. So let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. We need you. We need to hear from you. So we pray your grace. Help us to be alert tonight. And I pray your spirit would convict us of our need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, we've already heard about some who went hiking today. How many of you like to go hiking? Raise your hand. Okay, look at that. I like that. Well, the boys and I are going to be hiking the Grand Canyon here at the end of April. So if you're interested, let me know, okay? How many of you are excited about hiking now? Anyway, it's a long ways. Listen, the easy part is 7 miles in. You're not down to the bottom until you've went for 7 miles. And then you're down in the bottom and you're already tired. In fact, you're halfway down and you're thinking, man, this is harder than I thought. You're going down. You have gravity, and some of us have more gravity than others. You know, so we have a lot of help getting down in there. But that's just the beginning, and it's the easy part. You have to turn around, and then you have to go out. And that's the hard part. You know, the way we do, we start on the South Kaibab. That's 7 miles in, 1 mile across. And then it's 11 miles out, the Bright Angel Trail. And so that's, you know, you do the math. That's a lot of miles. You know, don't make me do the math. You figure it out. So here's how it works. You're on your way in, you get tired, and then you're on your way out, and then you have about 3 miles to go if you made it that far. Okay? If you didn't, then that means the helicopter had to get you out of there. But you have 3 miles to go, and you keep telling yourself this because there's no GPS. There's no, like, people clapping. You know, because you're getting close to the end. Keep going. Here's some Gatorade. We don't have any of that. You just, every time you go around a cliff, you think, well, it's got to be right there. Yeah. You know? And it isn't. I mean, it isn't. You still have a long ways to go. As soon as you start thinking, because your body automatically does it. Your mind automatically does it. Yeah, we got to be getting close. Just right there. No, we're not even close. Okay? We got a long ways to go. So how do you finish whenever you're already tired, you don't want to go anymore? Well, there's just one thing. It's determination. Amen. It's determined. You have to decide to do it. Yeah. Now, there's not really any options if you're in the canyon because you have to get out. You could just spend the night there, but you're still there, you know? So determination. I'm going to get out of here. Brother Vaught and I, this would have been a long, long time ago. There's no way I'm fit enough to do it now, but like 7-8 years ago, he and I did the Grand Canyon rim to rim, which is south rim to the north rim and back. That's 42 miles. It took him 14 hours because he's like crazy, but it took me 18 and a half hours. So I'm on my way out and I'm already totally fatigued, I'm dehydrated, and I still have 7 miles to go. The worst part, too, out. Whenever I got to the last 3 miles on that 42-mile adventure, I was totally exhausted, dehydrated, and every switchback, Brother Mark, every switchback, I had to sit down and rest my heart because my heart rate was just going crazy. So I would do a switchback, and I had to sit. It took me 4 hours to do the last 3 miles. So whenever you're in that position, there's two things that are going through your mind. Number one, why did I do this? You know, that's what I was thinking almost the whole time right then. Like, I can't believe I did this. I'm going to die in this canyon. That kind of went along with that. Then the other thing is I just have to keep going. I just have to keep going. And I was telling myself that. Just one more switchback. And then you sit down and you're like, okay, one more switchback. You just got to keep going. Determination. That's what we need to be as Christians. We need to be determined. Now, why is that? Because you're going to get fatigued. You're going to get tired. You're going to feel overworked. You're going to feel like this is hard. You're going to feel like this is a challenge, and I'm struggling. We talked about it all this morning, didn't we? In Sunday school, those of you who are there for that, and then Sunday morning message, we talked about the trials and the tribulations, and here we are again talking about trials and tribulations and persecutions and all those things again. It's like God knew what we needed to hear today. He created this theme today, and what you're going to need to get to the other side of these things that cause us to be discouraged and the tribulations and the persecutions that come along the way, the things that cause us to be fatigued, you're going to have to be determined. You're going to have a kind of determination to just keep going, to press on, to move forward for God. Christians needed that. The early Christians needed that. Why did they need such determinations? Because things aren't always going to be exciting. Right. Now think about walking with Jesus. I mean, that was exciting. Could you imagine being a part of one of Jesus' healing ministries? Like, a guy comes up, Jesus, and then suddenly he can see. Like, oh man, this is pretty exciting. And you think about all the exciting things of ministry, but it isn't always going to be that way. Right. You're going to hit those times of tribulation and trial and persecution, and sometimes the fatigue sets in and the excitement kind of goes away. Well, what gets you through that? Well, it's not the excitement, it's determination. It's that I have to keep going. You know, you're ever so tired, you think, I can't do this anymore. But we have to. We got to keep going. Some of you are laughing like, yeah, every single day, you know? You know, I can't. So early church, they would need this. They would need to have this kind of determination because of the struggles that they are going to have. Jesus warned them about it this morning, as we learned about. But here we see, it's like we have two sides of the coin. This morning was one side of the coin where Jesus warns his disciples about the trials that they will face, the tribulations that they will face. And he tells them just what they need to give them the courage to get through it. Remember, we've won. The victory's been won. It's over. Well, they're going to need that. Well, guess when they're going to need it? Right here in Acts chapter 8. It didn't take very long, and here we are. Look at verse number 1 again. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. We're going to talk more about Saul, but look what it says next. And the time there was great, say that next word, there was a great what? Persecution against the church. Persecution. So there was strong persecution against God's people. That's what great means. It doesn't just mean like it was violent. It means that. It doesn't just mean that it was strong. It means that. But it also meant it was great, meaning big. It was, the expanse was wide. It was reaching everybody. I mean, the whole community, the whole city, anybody who identified with Jesus was being touched by this persecution. So this was a real challenge. And so the Bible speaks of a great persecution. And really what pulverized the church into this persecution was the stoning of Stephen. By the way, the stoning of Stephen really just launched the community of the Jews into a persecution that they had been wanting all along. And if you think about it, they took Peter and the apostles to trial two times. Already before chapter 8, they've already been in trial standing before the Sanhedrin. And this is what they would have wanted. They would have wanted this to get to the place where they could bring accusation against God's people. And so the stoning of Stephen did that. What Saul would have done, which is the man that is consenting unto the death, we find out in chapter 3, or rather verse number 3, that he is that he is, what does it say in verse number 3? That he's made havoc of the church. What he's doing is he is a chief prosecutor, and he is going from house to house, and he is arresting people. He's putting people into, he's taking them captive, and he is putting them through a trial. And what he is doing in that process is he is trying to get them to admit that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior. And you would think, well, man, that's a great blessing. That's a good thing. Yeah, but as soon as somebody admitted that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, the King, then they had immediately blasphemed. They were then arrested, and Saul would have voted for the death penalty of anybody who claimed that Jesus was the King, the Messiah. And so that would have been what he had determined to do. And through this, look what it says next in verse number 1. There was a great persecution against the church. Look what it says after that. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. So there was a scattering that took place. Now, what that means is that the Christians who were being persecuted, those that either who were arrested and escaped, or those who knew that this persecution and these widespread arrests were taking place, would have heard about it through the community. They would have tried to escape town. They would have tried to flee. And so when it says in the scripture that they scattered, it would have meant that they just went north, south, east, and west. It would have meant that they just did anything they could to get out of town, to escape this persecution, which could have led them to their death. Now, it's interesting that that the word scattered is used. There's a Greek word associated to it. Do you want to hear the Greek word? Okay, I'm going to do my best. Here we go. The word scattered, the Greek word is diaspyro. Oh, man, I messed it up. Diaspyro. So you were going to be impressed, but now you're not. Here's what it means. The word scattered. It literally is a reference to seed. To seed. Like a farmer who scatters the seed. Now, how neat is the imagery of that? You're like, I don't get it. Okay, let me help you. So God had called his disciples already to take this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and deliver it to the world. Amen. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In chapter 1, verse number 8, he says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. I want you to take the gospel north, south, east, and west. Here's what Jesus is saying. I want you to scatter. I want you to take the gospel. And so what this persecution was trying to do actually helped to pole vault the church into obedience to the command of Christ. Take the seed. And you know what's amazing is exactly what they did. They took the seed. And these people were full of courage. I mean, these were not cowards. Don't you guys, doesn't it give you a chill when you hear a story about some military man who charged into the fight to either rescue a comrade or to charge a hill or something, and even in that process, giving up his own life, it kind of does something for you to say, that's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of Christians that were here. So when they scattered, listen, these were courageous people. They didn't go and hide behind rocks and in cliffs and in caves. No. They stood for Christ. They were in the open for Christ. Look at verse number 2. This, I absolutely am fascinated by this. It says, devout men carried Stephen to his burial. You know what that word devout means? It means devoted. I actually have a better word. Are you ready? It means determined. We have these people who are devout. They're determined. And what are they doing? They're carrying the body of Stephen to his burial. Now, there's a couple of things I think we don't have to be Bible scholars to see potential problem with this. Number one, the church, the Christians, the people who are standing for Jesus, they're scattering. Why? Because of the persecution. And so it would have took courage for anybody to
gather up the body of Stephen and perform a honorable ceremony of burial for him. I mean, like openly. That would have took courage because of the persecution itself. But then think about this. It's actually in the Mishnah, which is Jewish law, that says it is illegal to have a proper honorable burial for a criminal. A criminal according to Jewish law, which is what Stephen would have been. According to Jewish law, in the Mishnah, Stephen would have been a blasphemer because he claimed Jesus was God. He was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior, the King of the world. As a blasphemer, he would have been a criminal and condemned as such, being stoned. And so it would have been illegal for these men to take the body. So not only are they putting themselves in harm's way because they're standing for Christ by doing an honorable burial for Stephen, but also themselves becoming criminals potentially in the eyes of the Jews. And so we have these devout men, determined, committed men. Now look at verse number 3. Because now we have like the other side of this, the contrast with these devout people. As for Saul, isn't it funny, isn't it neat? Don't you love the literature of the scripture? If you just study the Bible, you see things like this. It's like the dynamic shifts, and you can see now we have this side, these dynamic, incredible, determined Christians, devout people, and people for God. And then over here, but as for Saul, what did he do? He made havoc in the church. He hailed men and women. He committed them to prison. Again, we had mentioned earlier, casting the vote that they might receive the death penalty. Listen to what one writer said about Saul. He said he was motivated by violent zeal. Listen to the imagery that creates. Saul was motivated by not just zeal. I mean, I get excited. We're talking about violent zeal. That's what he references it. And by the way, let's not forget in chapter 9, which will be there. I don't know how long it'll take, but we'll eventually get to chapter 9. And what does it say about Saul? It says, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And so that's his testimony. The imagery is violent zeal. He goes on and he says, and was determined to stamp out the new movement completely. I love how this writer used the word determined, because it's like you have on one side the determination to stand for Christ, and then the other side the determination to stamp out what Christ represents. Verse number 4, look what it says. It says, therefore they that were scattered abroad, that's the casting forth of the seed, right? They went everywhere. And there it is, the planting of the seed, the preaching of the word. And so they didn't hide. They preached the word. Amen. They stood for Christ in the midst of suffering, persecution, and trials. That's right. Why? Because they were devout. We see the specific reference of devout men, but anybody who would fit into the context of Christians who, when they scattered and they weren't hiding and in fear and they preached the word, they were devout. They would have been determined in obedience to Christ. This determination is to say, I'm going to preach the word. But it also tells us something about the trial of persecution, doesn't it? Do you know what the test of persecution, the trials of our faith do? They are the things that actually are the true test of whether or not we're determined. They are the trials. Is it verbal commitment? Is it our verbal commitment that is the test or the trial of our determination? Are we committed because we said we're committed? No. We're not committed because we said we're committed. Let's not forget what... there was a man who said this to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8. Listen to what he said. He said, a certain scribe came and said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Do you know what that means? I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus. I will follow you all the time. But you know what? It didn't even take Jesus one verse. Jesus responded in one verse and he left. So no. It's not our words. Listen, I pastored in Nebraska for 10 years, and now the Lord is, I can't even believe we've been here a whole year. It seems like, wow, it's flying. I'm getting older every second, you know? Is it another year? Well, anyway, so So all these years, you know what, early on especially, I would get excited when somebody would visit our church, and then they would just be excited, you know, on the edge of the seat. This church is amazing. You're the best preacher. And they would tell me this after church. You're the best preacher I've ever heard, you know. I'm like, thanks. I just received this as humbly as I can, you know. And all of these verbal commitments. Pastor, this is my church. I mean, this is my church. And I'm thinking, oh. And I'm a new pastor, and I'm excited because somebody else is excited. And they're going to be, and I'm just listening to what they're saying. They're so excited. And they're going to be faithful, and they're going to be here, and they're going to be discipled, and they're going to grow. And I'm thinking, we have usher, and we have all this. And look what God's going to do through this. And then they don't ever even come back. They don't even show up for the next week. Like, where are you? Amen. That's the one that that came to Jesus. Wherever you go, you've got me, Jesus. And then he's gone in the next verse. It's not our verbal commitment. No. It's going to get hard. I mean, I'm talking, listen, we could be faithful while it's exciting. And so there's times whenever we're here, why? This is exciting. It's not always going to be exciting. I mean, excitement dies away, you know. Just get married. And, you know, and I'm not talking about my marriage. I'm talking about most everybody else's. Because ours has been just like the first day all the time. Sometimes along the way, the excitement wears off a little bit. So what do you have to be? You have to be determined. You have to be. Because if you're not determined, then you're not going to stand. You're not going to keep going. You're going to fall along the wayside. You're going to be like this scribe who said, "You've got me for good, Jesus. I'm a follower to the end." And he didn't even make it to the next verse. Coached the boys' basketball this season. Man, that was exciting. You know, it's also exciting that it's over. I'm just going to be honest. I love it. Great investment. But I'm looking forward to not going to practice and just being able to not go to practice. So it was early on in basketball practices, like all the way at the beginning of the season, you know, and there's excitement there. And I'm excited. And some of the memories of my basketball days is coming back. And I'm thinking, I'm assistant coach. I'm not the main coach. So I'm going to get in there with the kids and we're going to play. And we enjoyed that. And then I challenged the boys. I said, all right, we're going to do it 10-2. And now most of the boys none of the boys knew what that was. And maybe you're like, I don't even know what a 10-2 is. Here's what a 10-2 is. You sprint all the way down the court. That means you're at one end of the court. You sprint all the way down and back. And that's one. You do that 10 times in 2 minutes. You do the math. It's a lot. That's a lot of sprinting in a short amount of time. You're like, oh, 2 minutes. I can do that. That's what I thought. So the first one, I'm thinking, guys, come on. You're a bunch of wimps. We got on the line, and we started the 10-2. And I got to sprint number 5, and I realized I made a huge mistake. I'm not even kidding. I'm on sprint number 5, and I realized this is not good. This is not good, my friends. I don't think I'm going to make it. And I started realizing I'm going to be sick on the court. It's not good. This is not good. Here's actually what was going through my mind. I need to stop right now. Yeah. I need to stop this right now. But you know what I couldn't do, Brother Kane? I couldn't do it. I could not stop. Because how pathetic would that be? If you're the coach and you've already been bragging to all these wimps and then you quit halfway, can't do it. I had to be determined. I had to be. That's how it is for us. Just living for God can be that way. I mean, we want to live for Him. We want to be faithful. And in those exciting times, it's easy. You know, and I feel, and I don't know about you, but I think we all have different times, different seasons, and not all of us are in the same season. So some of us, and I feel this way today, we're excited. I mentioned about a staff and about some things that are happening and Brother Glazeman and all this stuff. I mean, these are exciting times. We've been having visitors every week, and we have a lot of returning visitors, and look at what God's doing, and people are getting saved. Brother Eduardo's getting baptized tonight, and his sweet family's here, and look what God is doing. This is exciting. I feel excited, and maybe you feel a little bit excited. There might be some, and you're thinking, I'm kind of going through the other side. I don't feel as excited. You know, we have those exciting times. We have those not so exciting times. If you feel excited, just wait around a month or two. You'll get there. So it's not exciting anymore. I feel fatigued. I feel tired. I feel like I don't want to go to church. It's Wednesday night. I've been working all week and getting up early. And here's what I want to do. You're driving home from work and you're like, oh, Wednesday night. I just want to be sick. I just want to go home, like sick, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel good. I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to go to bed. I don't want to go to church. But what do you have to do instead? You have to be determined. Because sometimes that's what it's like. Now you say, Pastor, you know, is this something that God wants? I think it's something we can clearly see in the Bible. That early Christians were persecuted and they stood for Jesus. What caused them to do this? They were devout. It means that they were determined. It means they were going to keep going. You know what's also neat about this is what actually reveals our determination is the trial. It's not the easy things. What shows that you're determined is when you're going through the fire. When you're going through the trial and you keep going. That's what reveals your determination. We've all had thoughts and feelings like, I don't really want to keep doing this. But what keeps you going? Is you're determined for Him. I remember Brother Pendergraf, who was the pastor, my first pastor, baptized me. He was preaching the day I was called to be a pastor. And I remember I had surrendered. I'd been being trained. I was getting ready for Bible college. And actually, I believe I was in Bible college. I would have been early in that process, my freshman year, I think. And I remembered, and I know most of you don't do this, but I was eavesdropping a little bit. And so I was kind of leaning in because I heard my name. And so I was listening. Brother Pendergraf was talking to somebody else, and he was referencing me. And here's what he said. I really think he's going to stick. Now, I don't know what the context of that was, but he said, I really think he's going to stick. I thought, that makes me feel pretty good. He thinks I'm going to stick. I didn't really know what he was talking about, but I think he's going to stick. You know, I found out a few years into the ministry what he was talking about. That there are times along the way we get tempted and tried, and it's sometimes you feel like it's hard to stick. We need to be determined. I'm going to be faithful. As hard as it is, I'm going to be faithful. As much as the struggle it is, I'm going to be faithful. As many times as I've been hurt, I'm going to be faithful. As many times as I felt like I've been trying for God and it's not working, and living for Him and it just doesn't feel like it's working, I'm going to be faithful. Why? Because I'm determined. You know what reveals that determination is the trial. That's what we need today. We need determined Christians. That's what we need. We've always needed that. But that's what we have to decide. That's what you need to decide tonight. Honestly, I think if we studied this, there's a lot of great truth here. But I feel like we could funnel this down to a great point about determination. That we had devout Christians here who, when they were persecuted, they scattered. But you know what they did when they scattered? They kept preaching the word. Why? Because they were determined. That's what we need to be. The trials didn't stop them. The trials perhaps moved them to a different place, but they kept doing what they did. Preaching the word, standing for God, living for Him. I said it this morning, but there's so much overlap in what we talked about in Sunday school this morning and tonight that I'm going to go ahead and say this again. I think of Job. What a great testimony Job had. Of all the things he went through, and all the things he lost, and all the turmoil and struggle and the trials and the tribulation, and even in a sense persecution, and all the things he suffered, listen to what he said at the end of chapter 1. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to keep going. Don't let trials get you down. Don't let trials make you say, I don't want to do this anymore. Let those trials remind you that the devil doesn't like it when God is working. Because usually when you're facing trials or the devil's fighting, it's only because God's working. Let's remember that. And let's let God work. And let's be faithful. And I've heard it like this, and I'm done with this statement. Some of you are nervous, like, is this going to go on all night long? No, we're done right here. Remember that great statement that Jesus gave, or the scriptures teach as a principle, you reap what you sow? Imagine the farming, or the principle of you reap what you sow is like hills. And in life, as you sow, you're going over this hill. Did you know if you sow blessed things and you sow righteousness in this hill, you're not going to reap that yet. But you keep going, don't you? You keep doing it because you know it's what God wants you to do. And you keep sowing it and you're not reaping it yet. But you're sticking to it. And then you get to the next hill and you just keep doing it for God. And you keep doing it for Him and you're not reaping it and you're not seeing it and you're wondering if it's ever going to happen and you're in the middle of the second season and you haven't gotten any fruit. And you get about to the middle and a little bit on the other side of that second hill and you know what you start reaping? Some of the blessings of what you sowed on the last or the first round. You start getting some blessings from that. And God reminds you, oh yeah, I'm still working. I'm not giving up on you. So you keep sowing. And you know what you'll find if you just keep sowing? You keep going? Then you're going to start reaping. The blessings are going to come. But what do we need to do? We need to keep going. You need to keep being faithful. We need to be determined. Determined. Yeah. Trials are the true test of your determination. Don't let trials make you think God's forgot about you. Let those trials make you stronger. Let those trials reveal your determination. And I want to say this. I've already seen it in some of you. You've went through some hard things. And you know what makes me proud? And it's not like you need to make me proud. You don't. But it does. I feel it. It's because you just kept going. And now I'm looking at some who've done that. And now you're being blessed. And it's not because all of it's the Lord in you. But you know why you're being blessed? Because you were determined. When it was low and you were down and the trials were strong, you just stuck to it. That's that determination. That's what we all need. We all need it. Father, we thank you for the thought tonight, the encouragement tonight. For those that perhaps are in the trial, as we have a theme today of trials and struggles and things that way, it might be that there are some tonight who are suffering some of that. And they've been maybe not seriously considering moving or quitting or stopping, but certainly it's been in their mind by way of temptation, at the very least. The temptation of the devil. God, would you help us to be determined? And then, Lord, to understand or remember that principle of you reap what you sow, that we'll continue to be faithful to you and understanding that you're faithful and that you'll take care of things. And we'll give you glory for what you do. Help us to be, help that we would be revealed tonight where we are. It's not our verbal commitment, but it's our determination for you. We'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. God's worked in your heart. You come to the altar. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure about my salvation. You come to the altar and lift your hand. I'll meet you at the altar. I'll talk to you about your salvation.